All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Rebecca Thompson-Hitt. I am here representing APA, and I am, it says I'm Kate White, but I'm really not. I'll fix that here in a minute. But we are in the middle of Birth Psychology Month, and we have been having lots of great events. We started off with a conversation about the conscious baby with Kate White and I, and looking at the new story of human development. Then we moved on to a tour of the classroom last week, and this week we get to have a lovely, lovely conversation with Nina Ketcher. And she is actually one of our PPNE graduates, and so we're very excited to have her come back and share the work that she's been doing with the certificate that she earned and all of her other, great knowledge that she's integrated together. And so I wanted to just take a moment and read Nina's bio for you so that you have an idea of who she is. So Nina Ketcher is a loving and conscious wife, mother, educator, counselor, healer, writer, editor, singer, and artist. She's an integrative therapist specializing in somatic and prenatal and perinatal psychology and health and energy psychology. Nina is a prenatal and perinatal educator, the PPNE, through the Association of Pre and Perinatal Psychology and Health, which is APA, and Infant Massage Educator, CEIM, and Sai Shakti Teacher and Healer. Nina lived 5 years in India studying and teaching ancient wisdom about the womb, how to heal transgenerational imprints at the soul level, and how to prepare the womb for conscious conception, pregnancy, and birth. Nina teaches parents and professionals self-care techniques for managing the day-to-day ups and downs, and meditation practices for raising conscious, divinely connected, and loving children. Nina is a faculty and is faculty and a mentor for the APA's PPNE program and a presenter at APA's 19th International Congress, ACEP's 19th Energy Psychology Conference, and will be presenting at APA's 20th International Congress in December 2017, which she just did. she's offering ongoing teachings and healings from the Sai Shakti philosophy, online webinars, in-person healing sessions and retreats, as well as long distance healing and consulting. So, Nina, thank you so much for being here, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to share with us today.
Oh, thank you, Rebecca. And I'm very grateful to be here today, and also just to see some of your faces and just to have everyone's presence here. Thank you all for showing up and your interest in this topic. I have a lot to share, and I know that I have more slides than I have time to really share with you. We'll do our best, and I'm also aware that each person has their own timing and their own pacing, so please take care of yourself what you need as we go through the material. I, as Rebecca mentioned, I lived 5 years in India studying, lived in an ashram and studied with a spiritual teacher who shared a lot about how and the importance of bringing consciousness to our birth experience, to pregnancy and to parenting, and how that would help to change our world into a more loving, more service-oriented place, and to give the opportunity to the children coming in, as well as the parents who are parenting these children, the opportunity to become more in tune with who they are, aligned with their purpose, why they've come here in the first place, and what is it that their unique gift is to share with the world, and to give different techniques and practices which allow parents to support their children at every stage of that child's development, even before conception. It is a joy to share this knowledge in this way, because APA is at the heart of bringing awareness to the fact that babies are conscious beings. and that they feel and they see and they hear and they experience everything from even before they're in the womb, but especially when they're in the womb, when they're connecting with the world in a new way. And this is one of our founders of APA, Dr. David Chamberlain, and he even came to that place where he said, I'm especially aware of the need to create babies that are mentally, physically healthy, emotionally healthy, in order to have a world that is healthy and peaceful. And so I'm just grateful that we have pioneers in this field that are giving us that type of goal, that we can actually create that and reach that as a humanity together. And so looking at then how we create, what are the ways in which we bring a soul into form, from the formlessness into the form, and I'll be talking more about that as we move forward. We find, and this is a quote from APA, and this gives everyone who's maybe new to APA and a very brief description of what we're all about. We find that prenatal and perinatal experiences have a profound impact on the subsequent quality of health and human behavior. We see that life is a continuum which starts before conception, not after birth. During this formative period, parents and babies are not isolated from each other, but fundamentally interconnected. A loving prenatal and perinatal experience inspires such things as bonding and sensitivity to others, which have long-term consequences for both individual relationships and for society as a whole. Ultimately, womb ecology reveals itself in a world ecology. As the seeds of peace or violence are sown by parents, their models, teachers, and caregivers during pregnancy and birth. And so it's about looking at how are we modeling? What energy are we bringing? How are we vibrating? And how are we showing our children how to be in this world and how to deal with some of the challenges that come with just living in this world? And so we need to take a deeper look at the creation energy and the mechanisms which exist. And in the ancient days, they were very much about looking into how does this creation work? Why are we here? What is our purpose? And how is it that we can reach our full potential while we're in a human form? And one of the ways that they accessed that was through understanding the creation energy and mechanisms and how to use that for furthering developing conscious self. So we need to look at how there is a heaven and an earth, right? There is something that is beyond form, that is intangible. We cannot hold it. It is infinite and it is universal. It's accessible to everyone, no matter their belief system. And before creation happens, there was a deep silence. And in that deep silence, everything was one. And we experienced what's called the union energy, or the balance, or the harmony between all that exists and living in a peaceful place. And this state of union, of divine bliss, you could call it, is similar to how a fetus is experiencing inside the mother's womb. So the womb environment is the closest environment that soul has to really being in that union energy, which is our birthright. When we come into creation, we know there is a dichotomous split, a separation happens between the masculine and the feminine, the positive and the negative, the ups and the downs. And through all of that separation, it creates challenges in us. we don't feel that union or that harmony in ourselves. We feel an instability, an imbalance, and we're not sure. We become doubtful. Fears arise from that place of challenge, and illusions can come in and play in our lives. And this is kind of the opposite of being in that union energy. When we look at creation, we're looking at vibration. Everything in the universe is made out of vibration. Each of us are vibrating right now at whatever frequency we're at. And our thoughts and our emotions and the work that we've done to heal ourselves all affects our own emotions and vibration, and then how we affect others' vibrations. Now, talking about life force, so where does our spark come from? Where is that existing in the body? And I'll get more into what I learned from ancient wisdom traditions and how we can apply that today. First, I want to go into just some basic science that helps to support what I'm going to be bringing forward to all of you. The life force, the prana, our energy, our chi, is in the cells, in the protoplasm, made up of almost everything in the universe in infinitely minute particles. Now you think about it, we can't even see everything that is going on with our eyes, but everything in the universe is made up of this life force. Now, because of that protoplasm is made up of almost everything in nature, then it responds to everything in nature. So whatever I'm experiencing, if I'm in relationship with you, you're picking up on what is going on for me. And that is just the exchange that is happening with or without our notice. And that energy exchange is both positive and negative. And so how do we manage and handle those energies? The protoplasm is the sensitized film on our body and intellectual plates. It's vibrations from about us, so vibrations coming from around us, strike the protoplasm on our body, and gradually it makes a dent. So if those vibrations are positive, then it's going to make a positive dent in us. And if those vibrations aren't as positive, then it's not going to leave a very positive dent or impression on us. And we talk about that as an imprint that it leaves behind. When a cell is exposed to an electrical field, which we are constantly in an electromagnetic field that reaches about 10 feet away from the body, as you saw in the picture before, and that electrical field on one side of the cell depolarizes and the other side hyperpolarizes. And this creates what's called a dipole, a system with a positive and a negative field on its opposite sides, much like an electric battery. Well, we're also holding that positive and negative charge. We're also holding that masculine and feminine energy. And how do we find that balance within those juxtapositions? This charge creates a tiny charge across the cellular membrane between the inside and the outside of the cell. This gives the cell an electrical potential, how that cell then communicates information to the rest of the body, and how the energy can use it for carrying out its function, so action potential, so how we then function in our day-to-day. Some of this may be, you know, science 101, but for some of you, this may be new information, and it is setting the foundation for where we're going shortly. While these electrical signals are used by all organisms to promote health and functioning, they are also exchanged between organisms throughout the living world. So as I increase my positive vibrations and I balance any of the imbalance I have in my creation, then that automatically transfers to my family, to my partner, to my relationships, to my child. And we influence each other in this way. I don't know if, I mean, most of us have experienced when you're around someone who has a lot of beautiful, positive energy, automatically something shifts in you. You take a deeper breath. You start to smile. Something starts to shift also within your vibrational frequency, and that's happening at the level of the cells. John Chitty talked about this juxtaposition, this positive and negative, this yin and yang, referring to this universal observation that the world exists in a great dualistic interplay of these polarized complementary phenomena. And the Dalai Lama talked about how there is abundant neuroscience research confirming the value of ancient wisdom traditions in the ability to resolve mental and emotional suffering. And this is because these ancient traditions, these ancient wisdoms, use spiritual technologies which shift us at the cellular level, which helps to take the nervous system and calm it down, and also to give the ability for someone to not be stuck anymore with the patterns that have been existing in their life, and also possibly what's been passed down to them from their families. So finding a balance is, and today I'm talking about ancient traditions as a way to find that balance, and specifically looking at Sai Shakti mantra meditation and how that can support a conscious pregnancy, a conscious conception, a conscious birth, and also how to take that into the parenting where you can keep developing that soul at a deep level through each stage of their development. And Sai Shakti meditation gives us techniques and processes using the creation energies to uplift and maintain ourselves with union energy and finding ourselves back to a place of balance, back into the silence where we feel a sense of that union, that harmony inside of us, where that plus and minus, that masculine and feminine, those borders get muffled and we find ourselves right in the middle. And you see a lot of spiritual people, a lot of people when they go into prayer, bring their hands to their midline and bring it to their heart. This is just a physical way of connecting us into that union energy. Bringing in more about this ancient spiritual knowledge, where it came from. This is a picture of my teacher, Sri Kaleshwar, who is no longer in his body. He took Mahasamadhi in March 15th, 2012. And he is, if you can see that, he's reading what's called a palm leaf manuscript. And this is a manuscript which has been written on by rishis, saints, 7,000 plus years old knowledge that's been written down. The only way they could get the paper for this is miraculously the tree needed to offer its leaves to the saint, who then scribed down the creation mechanisms and how to use them for self-healing, and how to use them to really live in a conscious state of well-being. They talk and reveal ancient spiritual and scientific formulas for living and embodying higher states of consciousness, while being in service to the greater of humanity. At the heart of this knowledge is it's beyond all religions, and love and peace and mutual understanding and unconditional love is at the heart of these teachings. The other thing that is foundational to this knowledge is the fact that the five elements that are in creation are the pillars of our creation and the foundation from which we find balance and we find imbalance. And so the importance of understanding how the five elements play within our physical system, within the cellular level, is very important for how this knowledge then gets translated and ends up creating a transformation and aligning ourselves with our higher self. The ancient knowledge predates known religion, and it focuses on science of creation. It helps us to understand how creation works, who we are, again, while we're here, and what our greater purpose is in life. It is foundational and universal, and these truths are woven throughout ancient knowledge, and you can see it repeating against different traditions. Love, forgiveness, surrender, discipline, kindness, service, faith, and patience are just a few of these spiritual truths. These are human truths. And these are the qualities of humanity that makes us actually unified within this dichotomous world. It encourages us to see God or the divine in everyone, no matter their race, class, religion, sexual preference, or political views. It brings us closer to the union energy or oneness to God and to the divine source in ourselves and others. It teaches us how to use the mechanisms found in creation to raise our vibrations and uplift ourselves on all levels. It is energetic medicine for the soul's growth and for spiritual development. And this knowledge shares powerful self-healing tools for managing the day-to-day ups and downs, as well as energetic tools for helping others to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So in the process, we become able to help others a great deal in a greater capacity because we've done this work for ourselves. It gives ancient formulas for conscious conception, for creating, birthing, and developing divine children. These are children who are, and I believe every child is divine. However, there are certain qualities that really make up a divine child. And they're very much aligned with their soul's purpose. They know who they are. They're very confident and strong in today's unstable world. And it supports a healthy pregnancy and birth. And it offers healing techniques that a mother can do for her child at any stage of their development. And in this tradition, Sai Shakti mantra meditation and the knowledge that came from Sri Kaleshwar, the mother is the greatest healer. And she has the ability to give unbelievable knowledge to her child while the baby's growing in the womb, as well as being the source of healing for that child through each stage of development. We know this intuitively, but that this was actually written down and prescribed as how to really support children at the soul level. And to see how it's working in today's world, which I'll get to a little bit later on. It is just remarkable to see these children now in the world and standing so secure in themselves. Going a little bit deeper into the five elements and what I mean by this, and the five elements can be seen in Chinese traditional medicine, which is also 7,000 plus years old. So we're looking at very ancient understanding of how the creation worked and how that worked within our own bodies and systems. And when we look at the five elements, it's earth, fire, sky, or akasha, water, and air. And we're not only made out of the five elements, but we live in a five element environment. Everything that's around us is made out of the five elements. And then we create and we heal ourselves by finding balance to those elements in ourselves. This is Vasant Lad, who is an Ayurvedic life science master, I would say, expert in this field. And he talks about that man is a creation of cosmic consciousness, that oneness, that feeling of union, that is the cosmic consciousness. It is considered to be a microcosm of the macrocosm that is the universe. So we, in a human form, is a microcosm of the entire creation. Whatever is present, it should say present, in the cosmos, is the same as present in human beings. And man is just a miniature of nature itself. And he says, indeed, all the five elements are present in on every level of our physiology, starting with a single cell. This is information from Dr. Masaru Emoto, and as some of you are familiar with his work, you may have heard me speak about this before, and he talked about the hidden messages in water and how water is a conductor of energy. If we look at the image to the right, it says before prayer and after prayer. The image above the words before prayer is a water molecule before Tibetan monks have prayed over it. Once the Tibetan monks prayed over that same water molecule, this is the picture of it after the prayer. And if you see this structure, you can see the asymmetrical, the yantra. I'm going to introduce a new word for some of you, or sacred geometry here, where you see this beautiful snowflake-like image, and how just the power of prayer can transform us in the on the water element level. And this is key for when we're talking about pregnancy. Also, I want to bring in the work of a scientist whose continued work from his teacher. This is John Reed, and he's at the heart of kinematics right now, which some of you may or may not be familiar with. He says that sound is just as much at work in the interior of a star as it is in the organs of a starfish or in the cells of your body. Sound lies at the heart of every aspect of nature, underpinning all of creation. Water, with its highly flexible and sensitive surface tension, reacts almost instantly to any sound, revealing high levels of detail. The shape of sound is a bubble. Whether the sound is emitted from your voice or from some other source, such as a musical instrument, this bubble in a hurry leaves as a fleeting vibrational imprint on the surface of your body. Every cell in the surface tissues of your body actually receives sound patterns from the bubbles that surround you. This is an image to the left. This is a recording of the vowel A, like in san, sand. So someone was singing that, chanting that, and sound. And this is the image here. And the image to the right is actually, I captured my own voice singing an ah, ah. And that's the image that came from that. And so these sound waves or vibrations and the intention then that we put with it can really impact our experience in our bodies. And we'll be moving towards how this then impacts the fetus as it's developing and growing in the womb. Within the cell membrane is earth. Cellular vacuoles are space. Cytoplasm is water. Nucleic acid and other chemical components of the cell are fire. And movement of the cell is due to the air principle. Every single cell has a mind, intelligence, and consciousness through which it manifests selectively and by choice. We're going to be talking a little bit of how we have a blueprint system that refers to how our original design was, and this is expressed as a slow, symmetrical, and tide-like movement. It's more calming movement. The imprint refers to adaptations that have arisen to manage difficult experiences in the past. And these are expressed as faster, less symmetrical movements and tissue patterns. And so when we're in an imprint, our experience may be similar to how that water molecule looked before prayer. And when we're really in our harmony and we're connected with our blueprint and our source, our conscious self, then we look a little bit more like the water molecule after prayer. Dr. Wendy Ann McCarty says, the primary period for human development occurs from preconception through the first year of postnatal life. This is the time in which vital foundations are established at every level of being, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, and relational. And we can see how that primary period is affecting us when we look and break it down at the science level of how things are happening on a cellular level and how we're exchanging information across ourselves to each other. And this brings us to the womb experience. So imagine parents, especially a mother who has really prepared her environment, her physical environment to welcome a baby into. And as she's raised her vibrations through certain prayers, through certain practices, then her environment that she creates then in the womb for that fetus to grow in is in its optimal highest vibration. In the womb, what is the element that is mostly existing there? It's the water element. And it's about 80% water. When we're in our adult form, we're about 70, 75% water, unless you're really good about drinking water. But when the fetus is in the womb, they're really surrounded by a lot more water. And as we learned from chymactics, the water is such a conductor of information that even the slightest sound vibration, even the thought that a person can have, can transfer to that water element, and it can communicate through the cellular level to that growing fetus and inform them what's life like out there and what they can experience. So in this place, again, when the fetus is in the mother's womb, they are in the bliss. They are in the higher stage of consciousness and connected to that. And they're learning through experiencing the five elements exchanged through their parents and through those that are around them. In the womb, a fetus is experiencing formlessness, that oneness, finding balance. And they're also in silence, but they're also experiencing the spark, their own heartbeat, their purpose. And they're very connected with who they are and why they're there. There is no, there's no forgetting about themselves. They just are who they are. I am that. And while they're in the womb, they're actually experiencing life, as I mentioned, and how the elements are playing, how they're running through their own body, and how they're exchanging with their own mother through the placenta, through the uterus walls. And they're experiencing how that moves through the water systems in the body, the fire through the blood, the heartbeat, the voice of the mother, how important listening and sound is in touching. Actually, sound is a form of touching. When we can't touch, that sound is providing that touch to that infant. And then breath, how we're breathing. It's teaching, it's modeling how to bring in life and how to release as well. So how we bring things in and how we let them go. And there's always that creation happening. There's always something new happening, and also something's getting destroyed. So as something is getting released, then something can be created. And we see this through healing, and the healing work that we can do in particular through Sai Shakti techniques is by healing the womb chakra. And the womb chakra is the place where your soul spark is. And it is the most clarity place in your body. And it is where you feel most connected to your source, to your soul. And when that is covered up by life, then we lose connection with who we are. We are in a state of imbalance. We have mental disturbances. We don't know our direction. And we find ourselves oftentimes leads to disease, discomfort, chronic problems, and it often shows up in the relationship issues, challenges. And so this center, this womb chakra center, is the creation center for both men and women. Both men and women have this chakra. It is both in the body, but it exists outside of the body. When we're in form, it is mostly in this lower part of the body. And it mostly stays there, but it does move throughout the body. This creation center is very important for healing transgenerational imprints, and we'll get further into that as we move along. Barbara Feindyson says, says that mental life begins in the womb in a fetal drama, which is remembered and elaborated upon by later childhood events. Patterns are actually imposed on the musculature and then on the cortex itself as imprints or memories, which remain like a permanent motion picture to influence our conscious and future reactions. So what we experience before, during, and even after, especially in those first 3 to 5 years after birth, really makes an imprint on who we are then as adults, how we are in the world, how loving we are with ourselves, and how peaceful we are in relationship to what we cannot control in this world. And this leads us again to the science of epigenetics, looking at the primary period and our relationships. When we're able to heal some of those transgenerational imprints, especially on the level of relationships, then we're able to not carry any more of those burdens from our ancestors in our relationships. We're free from that. And then we're able to be in our present relationship in a new way that doesn't have any of the history with it. And that allows us to then be fully present to shaping the primary period to be in the most highest vibrating place to really grow our children to be connected with who they are. And also as a parent, you know, I'll just speak from myself right now. As I've worked on healing these imprints from my past, as I've worked on healing some of the things I bought into as identifying with myself, I become a better parent, and I'm able to let go of what I thought was how things should go and accept and surrender to a greater gift, which is more divine in nature. And so those womb chakra healings actually help to heal those transgenerational wounds so that then when we go into conscious conception, pregnancy, and birth, we're coming from a more healed place in bringing and birthing children in this world. I love the work of Alfred Tomatis. He believed that embryos listen with their entire bodies. And if we think about that as an adult, we don't think too much about listening from our entire bodies, but actually our bodies are listening all the time and we're receptors for information. But especially the embryos are in such a raw state, this blissful conscious state, that they really are in that listening with their entire selves. And he says that the skin is like an ear in that world. So the skin is the ear. That is how they're hearing and the vibration of the water. So to a fetus, the mother's voice is clearer than any other voice. It is not only the sound that creates the effect of the sound, but also the intention of the person making the sound. And this is very important, to always add intention to the prayers that we have, and how important gratitude is, being grateful, and how that opens the heart. And we know that from the work of HeartMath. The vowel sounds are considered sacred in many different traditions, and we're also looking at Sanskrit language. This is a divine language. These sounds and the vibrations are really elevating us to a higher vibrational frequency. And so since these vowels are across the board and across many different traditions, from Hebrew to Kabbalah to Tibetan Buddhism, everyone can experience the benefits of chanting vowels with no religious conflicts. And there are, of course, specific mantras that heal specific things. And that is what I can't go into a lot of detail today, but I'm just introducing you to some of these concepts that I go into further in some of the workshops I offer. Wanted to offer just a little bit of support here from a reference study by the Vivekananda Yoga Research Foundation. In India, they found that for 169 pregnant women who did a daily yoga and meditation practice, that significantly improved birth weight outcomes, premature births, and lessened the overall medical complications for newborns. With a highly referenced University of California Davis study leading the charge, meditation has been shown over and over again to drop cortisol levels by a staggering amount, with 50% as a quite common finding. That's remarkable, that these vibrations and meditation can change us on such a level, on such an extreme level, a beneficial level. Cutting stress hormones in half not only completely relaxes an expectant mom's mind and body, but her little one also basks in this magnificent state of tranquility. Just a little more benefits of mantra meditation. It really brings a relaxation response, causing a reduction of the heartbeat, so it slows the heart rate down, the brain waves, and also respiration. So the entire nervous system, the entire autonomic nervous system calms down. Dr. David Shavanov Khalsa has found mantra chanting to shrink tumors, and also to enhance sleep. And Dr. Alfred Tomatis has utilized sound frequencies to stimulate and charge the cortex of the brain and nervous system. This is a study that came in the International Journal of Yoga on how ancient texts and contemporary science come together, and specifically how the mantra of Om affects us. It works on the whole process of articulation, so the entire sound comes, our entire language sound comes from the Om, and it represents a primal vibration from which all other sounds come from. The repetition of this Om results in physiological alertness, increased sensitivity, and synchronicity of certain biorhythms, and an increased sensitivity to sensory transmission. So they become more aware of what's happening, and it increases our intuition as well. All the universe, including our bodies, is simply made up of vibration, a concept, incidentally, that the new superstrings theory of physics supports, quantum theory. Everything is in a state of vibration. When we are in a natural resonant vibration, we are in a state of health. But if some part of the body begins to vibrate at a counter frequency, the energy becomes stuck and disease sets in. Therefore, by mantric chanting, one can cause stuck energy to become released, and we can return to our natural state of resonance, effecting a cure. So to conclude this piece of it, silent thoughts contain sound vibrations, silent prayer contains sound vibrations. Thus, what we think, and we know this from Dr. Bruce Lipton's work, what we intend and what we say becomes the frequency we vibrate at. Mantra meditation through the Sai Shakti philosophy uses specific seed words, also known as bijas, and when practiced and repeated, internally or aloud, automatically the vibrational frequency of the body, mind, emotions, and spirit are raised to higher divine state or higher stage of consciousness. So how the Sai Shakti mantra meditations for fertility, pregnancy, and birth support healing? It supports the mother, baby, father, caregiver, the whole entire family. It's supporting the whole person, the whole network, and also how to protect. So how the importance of using mantra to give a sense of protection and to feel held and supported, as well as healing, any healing that needs to go on throughout that process. As human beings, we share a common experience that connects us universally. We are all birthed through a mother's womb. The journey of pregnancy into motherhood and fatherhood can be divinely guided and nurtured. This gives a growing baby an environment where they can thrive beyond what we commonly know today about pregnancy and birth. A divine pregnancy implements ancient formulas and technology, focusing parents-to-be on conscious conception, pregnancy, and birth. There are specific mantras for fertility. There are specific mantras for healing a mother and baby. So if something happens, violence occurs while the mother's pregnant, there are specific ways in which she can heal that for her and her baby. Pregnant women can receive what's called a divine baby blessing. It's an energy transmission from a healer, specifically a Sai Shakti healer, who's been given that blessing to give to pregnant women and children. And those children who receive, and the mothers who receive these blessings, those children come out shining and sparkling and strong and vibrant, and they don't necessarily need to do any spirituality because they're just connected with them, with themselves and who they are. There are mantras specifically to help calm and soothe babies and help them to express themselves, and also to help children go to sleep, and also to help children heal from addiction, and also mantras to support them through every stage of development. I just want to take a moment here to take a pause and see if there's anyone. And I'm sorry, I can't give a lot of time because I really want to get to a couple things, but just if anyone's there who's taken my training before, who would like to share briefly how they've implemented these mantras in their life, if anyone's there.
And also, Nina, you've got a lot of questions, so I know you still have some material, but you've got a lot of people who are asking, well, wait, what about, and so I want to make sure that we have time for that as well.
Okay. Okay, so right now I can't see the questions.
So I don't know if you want to finish what you're sharing, because it may answer some of these questions.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. If everyone can hang in there with me, and I'm happy to stay if people have more questions. So really what we're looking at is healing at the soul level, and that is what brings us more into our conscious self. That's healing past ancestral patterns, and there's various ways of doing it. I brought in from the Sai Shakti tradition to heal the womb chakra. Also healing present relationships. There's forgiveness process of 21 days where we really work at healing the parent, our relationship with our own parents, and our own primary period for parents and at any stage of our being parents. Children receive the healing benefits as well. So whatever we do for ourselves, our children receive those benefits. And then, it's really about protecting and supporting. And this is a quote from my teacher: the real benefit is coming from growing the womb as a holy place, On the planet, the womb means the most beautiful temple, the most holy place in your body, the most energy place in your body, the most clarity place in your body. We need to make the womb as holy. And these are the healings and conscious practices that go more in depth from what I've shared with you today. And because of our limited amount of time, of course, I would love to share a whole lot more with you. But these are the different ways that I share the knowledge. And it's through the 9 womb chakra purification healings, through a course called Nurturing Through Nature, which is all about self-care and how you balance your 5 elements through interacting with with the nature every day. And then the holy womb process, so how to really support and keep your womb as a strong and holy place so that you're more aligned with yourself and that you're able to be more in your intuitive self and interact in the world in a higher conscious way. The 5 elements process, which are specific mantras for balancing the 5 elements in you. And then I have an online live webinar course called Holy Womb, Divine Child that goes more in depth and teaches you all the mantras that go with preconception, fertility, all the way through each stage of a child's development. Just briefly on the womb chakra healings, you can read this at your own pace. There is a PDF that was sent out of the slides. So this just gives you a little bit more, but those womb chakra healings heal from heartbreak, addiction, abuse, trauma, and family history. Very important for women who've been physically abused or have had any physical abuse in their lives. And I just want to move on to the science and the spiritual technology of mantra and yantra, and that this creates new divine energy. So you saw the water molecule before prayer. When that form, that's a kind of yantra, that's a form. When mantra was put to that, when a prayer was put on top of that, then that yantra changed and it created a new high divine energy, right? That beautiful water molecule. So when we take mantra, which are vibrational seeds, and in this case, I'm specifically talking about Sanskrit, Telugu, Kannada prayers. These are ancient languages from India. Plus a sacred geometry or a form, which is one part ourselves, we're a form, but we also, there are other yantras within our form. And in combining that, we create a new high divine energy, or we come into a place of union in ourselves. And Ayurveda teaches that we all have this constitution and it's created with space, air, fire, water, and earth. So again, it's looking at how our elements are balanced. And here, I just want to share a few mantra meditations with you briefly, and we'll move to your questions. So some of the mantra meditations, and some of you may have heard this before, Om Namah Shivaya. So there's Om, that important sound that has everything in it, the entire universe. And then Na is earth, Ma is fire, Shi is sky, Va is water, and Ya is air. So Om Namah Shivaya. And as you repeat that, you're starting to purify and balance those elements in you. So all of you, are please feel free to experiment with what I'm giving you today. The next is a mantra called Om Hum. And there are many traditions that use hum and humming as a source of healing. And Om Hum is very much about removing negativity. One of the best practices you could do is be in the shower or in the bath, and you're reciting this Om Hum with gratitude for that water element and with the intention to remove anything that isn't serving you anymore. And then the Gayatri Mantra. And this is a very important mantra and one that I really wanted to share with all of you today because it is something that we've heard before or maybe we haven't. But there's a deeper meaning behind this mantra. This mantra is over 7,000 years old. It is one of the remaining mantras from that time that includes all of the Vedas, all of the ancient spiritual knowledge. it's in a way it contains the entire universe in itself. And its job is, as you listen to it, as you chant it, it starts to shed layers of whatever was covering up us on our soul level. And so in a way, through this mantra, you decharge through the womb chakra. And I'm just going to give you an experience of that and sing it to you and move into my concluding comments. So take a moment just to close your eyes or leave them open, look at the picture that's there, whatever works best for you. Oh. 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 Om Bhur-Bhuvah-Suvah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Nah Prachodayat. Om Bhur Bhuvasuvah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Nah Prachodayat. Om Bhur Bhuvasuvah Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Nah Prachodayat. I'm just sensing, and I wish I had a little more time to sing longer to you. This is one of the top prayers a mother can learn to meditate with during her pregnancy, before, during, and even after. And I really am happy to share more with you. If anyone's interested, I can send you a recording of that mantra. You can connect with me. And just to conclude, we're looking to build a holy womb so we can create a divine child, birthing these strong children for a changing world. And as Sri Kaleshwar said, that if a mother does certain processes, every child who comes from her will get real knowledge. They will be very glorious persons and be so happy. They will know what is true, what is false, and what is reality. They will know how to handle negativity and will have willpower and commanding ability and not go into depression. These are all abilities the mother can give when the baby is growing in the womb. This is a beautiful testimonial from a mother who 17 years ago was 4 months pregnant and who picked up a Sanskrit mantra. And she said that she wanted to chant it more and more as she began to chant it. And at the time her son was born, she chanted that mantra as her son was crowning. And to this day, she credits that mantra for showing her path back to who she is. And that her son was the doorway to finding herself again in this world. And she became whole with the birth of her first child. And she said it's just been a catalyst that has blossomed into a life of pure love and of unconditional service. And she said that her son is an amazing, smart, funny, wise beyond his years person. He's calm, steady, and loving. And he has a deep, palpable connection for humanity and especially for women. Such babies, if the mothers implement it from today onwards on this planet, after 15, 20, 30 years later, every person will become such a loving character. And it will fulfill that goal or that ideal that Dr. David Chamberlain had, that we really need to create more loving, peaceful souls on this planet. And imagine what a wonderful world this would be as we rebalance, purify our blocks, and heal trauma in our body, mind, and hearts. And that our future generations can be welcomed into this world and ushered out of this world in such a sacred way where they're aligned with themselves, their purpose in life. And this will benefit the whole of our humanity. And our humanity will look like my son, who is just a happy, beautiful, bright, loving, kind boy. And I just want to leave you with that beautiful image. And thank you very much for your patience. I know you have a lot of questions, and I'm happy to dive into that now. Thank you all for your listening with your whole entire bodies.
Thank you so much, Nina. So I want to just honor the fact that it has now been an hour. If you need to go, you know, feel free to go. We're going to record the comments, and we can stay a little bit longer and, you know, take your questions. There are so many comments that people made as you were talking, Nina, and questions as well. So you can go ahead and, yep, stop sharing your screen. Sheila, are you still here? And if you are, unmute yourself.
Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Okay. If you want to ask your questions, you had several, so.
I will email her privately because my questions are always about adult spiritual formation. So let somebody else have their chance.
Okay. Thanks. All right.
Yeah, I just want to say, Sheila, hi, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jacqueline. Are you still here? And if you are, unmute yourself. Yep, there you are.
Yes, I'm here. So I have lots of questions, which I will also follow up by contacting you directly because some of them are somewhat, they're related to the topic, but do get very personal. But the one question that I had posted was, I wanted to understand whether coming back into unity is the same as depolarization, or do you conceptualize that differently?
So I am not an expert in polarity theory. So I'm not sure that I can speak exactly to the definition of what depolarized is. But if we look at the spectrum and the scale, we've got extremes. And it's about being able to hold those extremes as that's in creation, but it's not taking me up or down into those extremes. I'm able to be in a place of harmony or union with it all and accept it and be able to navigate it. So it's being able to, how you handle the positive and negative energies.
Okay. So to me, that sounds more like integration, but.
Right. Language kind of gets us caught in trying to define something that's actually beyond the mind's understanding. But yes, it is certainly an integration. You know, when we bring our hands together, we're integrating both. Yeah, thank you for that. And I look forward to hearing from you too.
Thanks.
Mary Beth Merritt, do you want to ask a question? You unmute yourself. I can get it here. I unmuted you.
Oh, hi.
Mary Beth.
Hi, thank you. I did write some questions. You'll see them. I was particularly interested in things that you referred to. I've kind of lost the picture here, but can you still hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. like the formulas, you mentioned formulas. What are the ancient formulas? And what are the mechanisms of creation that you
right.
referred to?
So the spiritual formulas are mantra plus yantra equals new divine energy.
Okay.
So that is how spirituality uses the creation energy. And as we explored, creation is at the cellular level, and we're made up of the five elements. And as we use sound or vibration, and it interacts with the elements, with the form, then it shifts the entire form into a higher vibrating structure. So through applying mantra to our form, we create a higher divine energy. So the creation energy and mechanisms is the five elements, is our pillars of creation, and it's found in the structure of the cell. And we exchange through vibration.
So are you saying then different mantras produce different manifestations?
Yes, there are specific mantras in particular with what I teach in more depth that are specifically for fertility, specifically for blessing a baby and mother's health, specifically for creating a strong child who are aligned with their purpose. Okay. Specific mantras for when a mother births a child into the world, what intention she has at that moment, what she wants to create, using her power to give as much as she can to that child in those moments, because that's a really high creation moment when the baby's crowning.
Okay, so the human influence then on the mantra, the yantra and the mantra is intention?
Yeah, so part of the human influence would be gratitude. You know, first we have to open our heart to anything before any energy can flow. If our heart's not open to it, then the energy can't flow. So when we have gratitude that we're given this, and then our intention is, so for example, when I'm recording a fertility mantra to send to somebody for healing, I'm specifically intending that energy to go to that specific person. I get their picture, I'm looking at them, you know, I'm directing. So intention is directing that energy. The ancient formulas of mantra plus yantra will work without those things, but it becomes more powerful and more potent when we add that human component of gratitude and intention.
Okay.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you. It's exciting.
Sandra, do you want to ask a question or make a comment?
The comment that I made is, I'm so grateful to you, Nina, for bringing this to our attention. Mm. There are wonderful programs that we have, Nina's as well as Calm Birth and others, that teach a lot about this, but I think your method is very, very clear to understand, and I wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Sandra. I appreciate that. Yeah, I wanted to mention these other forms too, so I appreciate you bringing them in. Prenatal bonding is very, very important foundationally. I also believe Calm Birth is foundationally important. And this is just kind of adding another layer to those practices. So I'm very grateful for all the work everyone's done. Thank you for sharing that.
Another beautiful layer, Nina.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any question that wasn't typed in? I just want to take a moment. But I think I've gotten everybody who submitted one online. There's lots of positive love comments that are coming at you, Nina.
Aww.
Thanks, and the singing was beautiful, and people got goosebumps, and there's just so much gratitude. Amazing work. So I'm right there with them. Thank you so much for blessing us with this information today. So We are grateful.
Oh, I'm very much looking forward to just seeing everyone, how we all bring this work into the world in our own unique ways and how we support each other in that. Because I really feel it's how we come together, you know, that's how we're going to change it. And so thank you everyone for doing your part. I'm so grateful for all of you. And please reach out whenever you'd like. I'm available.
And do you have a website, Nina, that we can go to, or?
I do. That's the website.
And I'll make sure that I send that out in the email.
And there are several courses and things that are up on there right now, and you can always contact me. And even if you just wanted the recording of the Gayatri Mantra, please feel free to ask me for that. I'm so happy to give that to you.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Next week, we'll be talking with Michael Mendiza about prenatal bonding, and he'll be sharing some videos from his Touch the Future Academy. So definitely plan to join us for that. So thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.